Good afternoon. Today is Monday, October the 22nd, 296th day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon from St. Bernard's, not who you might think it is. Instead, it's somebody who you don't think it is. Craig Brown. How you doing, guy?
I'm fine. How are you, Brian?
Dingy as ever, right?
Yeah. Yes.
This afternoon, we'll spend a little bit of time talking about campus ministry. It's something that St. Bernard's has had for a period of time, but hasn't necessarily been something that's been spotlighted too much. So we'll spend a little bit of time about that.
That's fair to say.
Okay. Well, every once in a while, I do like to be fair, and we'll see if it extends through the rest of the program when we come back.
My bank, I feel at home. I'm Trish Greggy of the Journey's End, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, hometown banking isn't just something they say, it's how they do business. I'm Kevin McClendon of Georgia's Glass, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, we invest in the future of our community every single day. I'm Greg Foster, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
Redwood Capital Bank, our interest is you. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 313. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Craig Brown, but before we do, our quote this afternoon comes from Woody Allen. Quote, I'm very old-fashioned. I believe that people should marry for life, like pigeons and Catholics. There you go. You whip that one into your religion class tomorrow, huh?
Yeah. Trying to think of the parallels between pigeons and Catholics. There's got to be some I'm not aware of.
Goes right to Alfred Hitchcock, doesn't it?
The birds.
Yes. Oh, gee. What is the biggest surprise, Craig, at the school when kids come in first year enrollment about the faith-based components to their education?
Probably just how pervasive it is in the school's life, the culture of the school. A lot of our students come from faith backgrounds other than Catholic. Certainly we've had Buddhists and Sikhs and Jewish students. So the Catholicity of the school is something that is brand new to them. And so just the idea that we meet every morning for prayer before school starts, and pray before classes and have school liturgies, masses, is totally different to quite a few of our students. Other students who come from Catholic families, probably not as much as a surprise to them at all, other than, maybe how pervasive it is and how important it is and across the curriculum and everything we do.
Now, most of us were accustomed to praying during class.
Right.
But not
that,
for
that you can stay awake.
Before, yeah, yeah. Pass the test, get a grade. Yeah,
yeah. I don't fall out of my desk. Yeah, in front of everybody. Yeah.
So, what is the purpose of the Catholicity being so ingrained?
It's what our mission is. As part of the Universal Church, we're called to prepare young men and women to be leaders, to be leavened for change in the world when they leave our school. That they can work out of their faith, their relationship with God informs everything that they do, and be men and women of faith in general in the rest of their lives.
So as you look at the textbooks that are selected, as you look at some of the ways that other elements of the school come together to form this, do you look at it from a different perspective than, let's say, another faculty member might?
Myself personally?
Yeah, as being the campus minister.
Yeah, and it's one of the things that I'm charged with is to be sure that although we use textbooks in, say, you know, calculus classes and science classes that don't come from a Christian viewpoint, there's certainly...
Well, I think math is math, isn't it?
Right, yeah, there's, you know, 10 commandments, 8 beatitudes.
Except that count to 7 thing?
What?
In 7 days?
Oh, yeah. There is some math in the Bible. Okay. But, yeah, not necessarily calculus or trigonometry. But there's ways you can inform all of those subject matters with faith. And a lot of that has to do with the witness of the teacher in the classroom. So that if a teacher is teaching what otherwise might be thought of as a secular subject. They can certainly, by the way they treat their students, with the respect they give their students, the respect they demand from their students, and towards each other in the classroom, that speaks to their faith and the idea that each person is a dignified creature of God, made in His image and likeness. So that is across the curriculum, but there's also
just the interactions then of
everybody. The social structure of the school, the culture of the school is based on. The two great commandments, love God with everything you've got and love your neighbor like you love yourself. That pervades the way we do our discipline, the way we do admissions, the way we do everything. And that is sort of like a language course. What do you call it? Immersive teaching, where the teacher just teaches the language they're speaking and you have to pick it up or
it's called
or
the
ground.
Deep end of the swimming pool for a lot of us. Yeah.
Well, that's part of the way we go about conducting business at St. Bernard's is that the spirituality of the school is so much a part of the culture that they get immersed in it just by the way we treat them and expect them to treat themselves and each other.
How foreign or challenging is it for someone who has either no spirituality or, like you mentioned, Buddhist or Tao or something, that it's so different?
It can be really challenging.
To grasp the concept of Christmas.
Yeah, exactly.
Easter. I mean, is that something that takes some time?
It does. And most of the I've been doing this for 17 years, and most of the students are pretty malleable or accepting. And we do. I've taught the freshmen for most of my career there, and I do that on purpose. So that I can reach them when they first get here. The freshman year is a big gateway grade for the school, and so. I tell them explicitly that we're creating an atmosphere where they can share their beliefs about the creator of the universe and what their relationship is. And then I expect them to be at least respectful of my sharing of my faith and my belief and Catholic teaching. And for those students who do struggle, and just a very few of them have ever, in the 17 years, have ever been outright antagonistic towards the message. There's been a few. These kids are, you know, they're at an age where they're trying to form their own opinions, and to tell somebody, to have somebody sit there for 45 minutes, 5 days a week, to tell them your opinions, rub some of them pretty raw, and they can get pretty reactive. But that's a minority. Most kids will just listen and accept it. And the ones who struggle, I tell them that treat this like a social studies course. If you don't believe and you find yourself not being able to believe, then just accept it like I'm telling you my version of history, which might not merge with yours, but you have to accept the teacher's take on the subject.
And I'm the teacher and I'm right.
It's right, exactly.
Case closed.
To a big extent, yeah.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 3:19.
Hi, this is Eric from Northwood Chevrolet Hyundai. You know, I think a lot of people forget that we have a great selection of used cars available. We might not have the inventory that some of the larger dealerships do, but I know our quality used cars stack up against anybody else's in the county. Plus the fact, if we don't have something on our lot, come on in, see us, and we can probably find it for you. We have a quality selection of some very nice used cars, what most people were looking for. But again, if we don't have it on our lot, we can probably find it for you at Northwood Chevrolet Hyundai.
Hi, my name is Mark Diaz from Northwood Hyundai, and I invite you to come down. We're open from 8:30 in the morning till 6 o'clock at night for your shopping convenience. Closed Sundays to be with family. And as my dad used to say, don't bring much money. You won't need it. That's Northwood Hyundai, 7th and D, Eureka.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 3:24. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Craig Brown from St. Bernard's. Craig's a campus minister, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, like school. Everybody there.
The international kids, Craig, has got to be interesting. When we had our, I guess, the longest-termed one we had, with Martin from China, wasn't Catholic, wasn't anti-Catholic, had no spirituality, and was curious about. So some of the real base questions, so what's Christmas? Okay, he kind of got that from school.
Yeah.
But he hadn't gone to an outside mass where it wasn't just the kids. And some of the normal inquiry and questions about that. When you are working with the freshman kids, My understanding is a lot of them, the internationals, will either they're not there because it's freshman year, or they go home during the Christmas break.
Right.
How do you bridge that for them so that they understand what Christmas is in anticipation of Easter when they aren't going home, but they get to experience that from a Catholic perspective?
Well, we talk about the major feast days of the church a week or two before the feast day, and we just do that in generally in the curriculum to make sure that they understand, because, like, you know, we are aware that a lot of our students have no home faith, even domestic students, and so those two, especially those two important, the major feast seasons of the church, Easter and Christmas, are touched upon just in the classroom so that they understand. And they've, you know, by that time, by, you know, that's the end of the second semester or second quarter, they've had, even the brand new students have had a good introduction to who Jesus of Nazareth is and who we believe him to be. And
well, so, even what a carpenter is for some of them.
Well, yeah.
some real basic
some things. Of our students, yeah, are coming from a pretty industrial background. So, yeah, those kinds of trades aren't foreign to them. They're not poor students by any chance, any stretch of the imagination.
But the experience, do you sense a grasping of spirituality from the kids?
Yeah.
Just intuitively?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And it's, you mentioned, I think during the break, about students with a Buddhist background coming from China or Taiwan or South Korea or Vietnam. Though I find those easier to talk to because they have a faith. And it's easy to find parallels between Christianity and other faiths. So it's easy to talk to them if you use that as a vehicle for that. It's the ones that are strictly materialist, which I think are the majority of our international students. They're coming from a place where they've been taught by their parents and their family background that they're responsible for their life. Whatever they get out of life is up to them. They're going to work hard and get what they need, but it's all up to them. There's no other recourse for them other than an existential materialistic viewpoint. And I had one student who was a senior when I taught him from People's Republic, who did incredible essays, very smart, very collaborative in classroom. But at the top of every essay paper he would turn in, he would write, "I do not believe any of this." And then he would go on and completely fulfill the requirements of the essay. But he just wanted to let me know that he hadn't yet bought into this. But I've also had three students who graduated and emailed me later saying that they were getting baptized from China. So that's thrilling. That's
you know, cool stuff.
Keep the paycheck. I'll just live with that.
Not really.
Not really. Just kidding, David, if you're listening.
The concept of charity, is that something that is also kind of a workaround? I mean, as you mentioned, some of the international kids.
Yeah.
And I would imagine some of the domestic kids also. The concept of giving is something that is, I can remember being asked by Martin, why?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How come? What is this all about?
That's definitely a challenging part of the gospel message for the international students, the materialists particularly, because if you think that your life is in your control and there's no other accountability other than your own responsibility for yourself, then everybody else is living that way too. So if I'm working so hard to keep myself together and get myself to where I should be, then they have to also. But the ones who are coming from a Buddhist tradition, compassion is an incredible strong component of Buddhism. So again, there's another parallel that we can draw on, and charity is not foreign to them at all. So,
what about reversing that? Now, you mentioned Catholicism is wound throughout. But what about the kids who are either Catholic or Christian or Jewish, trying to grasp what is Buddhism?
Hmm.
And you know, if there's so much compassion there, perhaps that's something that they could learn from a different perspective and then see it in other areas.
And why be Christian then?
Yeah, or to augment their Catholic faith.
Yeah, well, that's definitely that. We do teach a world religions course, and that's we in that course we draw explicit parallels between other major religions of the world and the Catholic viewpoint, and we do that to help them understand that this things that we're teaching that the Catholic Church teaches is not foreign to the human experience, no matter where you're from. And that can be an incredible enrichment to the foundation of your own faith. And we do draw those parallels and make those foundational remarks explicit to them.
No, I didn't think you would be trying to convert to Buddhism, but apparently that I saw that go across your forehead. So.
I want to make that very clear.
Didn't mean to stun you on that one, buddy. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 3:30.
Now enter the sunshine for Humboldt. The Ferndale Repertory Theater will soon begin another season. Between October and next July, they'll present 6 shows, a mixture of musicals, comedies, and drama. The season begins October 5th with In the Next Room, a comedy about a 19th century doctor and the women he treats. After that comes the tuneful Broadway hit Annie. Another great favorite, Hello Dolly, will be on the Ferndale stage next spring. Songs for a New World, a musical exploration of life's emotions, will play early next year. And the summer will feature Boeing Boeing, about an American living in Paris who juggles 3 fiancés, all of whom are airline flight attendants. The finale is Victor Victoria, about a down-on-her-luck singer who takes a role to play a woman playing a man who plays a woman. Sound confusing? It is, and it's hilarious. For information, see the Ferndale Rep's website, ferndalerep.org. Sunshine for Humboldt is a nonprofit civic association dedicated to the people and activities that make this a good place to live.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:35. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Craig Brown. Craig's the campus minister at St. Bernard's. Craig, so far we've talked a little bit about the high school primarily. Yeah. What about Catholicism and ministry for the elementary schools, for the junior high school kids? Is it found there also other than during the High Holy periods?
Absolutely, yeah. It's the daily life of we're a pre-K through 12th grade school, and our curriculum all the way through has explicit religion education in each class, each year of school. And the elementary meets in the library for morning prayer and assembly, and the high school meets at a separate place for morning prayer and assembly, and that's every day. Our masses that we have at least once a month, if not more often, are all school, so it's the whole school, K through 12. The pre-K comes once in a while if they're feeling like they can be attentive enough, and so they do join us. And so, yeah, the spiritual life of the school is everywhere, and we also have retreats every year for the junior high class. Younger than that, the retreat experience isn't that valuable to younger kids.
It's called the hot dog burning festival.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Have a barbecue.
Yeah. How do you balance, as the campus minister, overlooking the curriculum also and weaving everything throughout, the parental perspective of First Communion, of being baptized in their home church, if they do happen to be Catholic?
Yeah, that's there have been parents who wonder why, if their student is Catholic, why they can't be prepared for the sacraments at school, so they don't have to go to Sunday classes at the parish for sacramental prep. And we work with the pastors, the local pastors of the 7 local parishes, on that, and they have allowed us, I guess I could say, to prepare first grade students for First Communion and First Reconciliation, and that works fine. But the other sacraments that come at a later age, it's important for the pastors and important for us that the children begin to feel a real strong membership in the local parishes. That is one of the foundations of Catholic life, is to be a committed member of a parish, of a definite faith group, that a family that you can work with and minister with and learn from and worship with. So that our students, and we try to tell the parents this, and by far most of them appreciate that and understand that they have, the school is there to enrich their Catholicity, not to compete with the parish experience. So the material the students are getting in the junior high and high school curriculum, religious ed curriculum, could prepare them for the sacraments, but they need to feel like they're part of the parish life. So to prepare for that, like confirmation in the freshman year, it helps them realize that they're a member of a broader family than just the school.
You were saying the sacraments. I immediately went to marriage.
Sorry. Oh, okay. Yeah, we haven't touched on that. Although the senior year, we do talk about vocations and what married life is supposed to be for a Catholic man and woman. So we do touch
on
that.
I was thinking more of a sacrament that the school was performing.
Now, when you get married. No.
Not this turn through the grinder.
Not yet. The bishop hasn't given us that permission yet.
The influence of the clerics, of the priests, of the bishop in and throughout the school, is there a lot of that presence at St. Bernard's?
There isn't a lot, and that is not because of a lack of interest by any of them, by any means, but it's just that because vocations of the priesthood have been small the last generation, there aren't as many priests. You know, there was a time when there were two, three, maybe four priests in every parish, and they could spread themselves a lot farther than they do now. Now there's one priest for every parish, pretty much. And so for them to attend to their parishioners and other duties, and then also have a pre-K through 12 school to attend to and minister to, is a big stretch for them. So a lot of schools do have masses more than once a month. Some schools do have the luxury of having a cleric on campus 5 days a week. We haven't had that for a long time, and we feel that.
Was Mike Cloney the last one?
Mike Cloney was.
Or Father Shaw?
Father, the last, I can't, I've been there 17 years and we haven't had a full-time chaplain, priest, in that time. We've had a couple of times when we had, St. Bernard Parish, for instance, would have two priests, an associate pastor and a pastor. And then the associate pastor would step in and come in and be on campus two, maybe 3 days a week. But that's been very sporadic and not the usual norm at all. So we do miss it. And we have Father Greg now, who's just arrived from the diocese, and he's up here, and he's going to be at school 2 days a week or more. But he's also got other duties the bishop wanted him to do up here too. But so we do have a part-time chaplain, and that's been a luxury, and we feel great. And he's really good with the kids, and he walks around the halls and pops into classrooms, and he's going to be doing our school masses. Very energetic man, very, very good presence.
KINS, news and information time. It's 3:41. We'll be back with more from Craig Brown.
Verizon Wireless is continuing to do some technical work on one of their towers in Southern Humboldt. For the safety of the workers, Verizon has asked KEKA to reduce the operating power of the radio station through this Wednesday. At the 101.5 dial position, we will have reduced our broadcast power. 100.9 and 104.5 are unaffected by this work. When the project is completed, your Verizon Wireless will be enhanced in areas within Southern Humboldt County. We appreciate your indulgence as we work with our neighbors to get this work accomplished in the easiest way we can. Thank you again for your patience.
Good afternoon, KINS. News and information time. It's 4:40. No, it's not. It's 3:45. I just wanted to be 4:45. What, first pitch? Be right there.
Oh, 5 o'clock.
Yeah, then the debate going on, and just then the football game, and there's just too much
the
stuff.
Debates tonight, too?
Yeah.
How do I choose?
Well, you watch one and listen to the other.
Okay.
And either way,
that's multitasking.
You win from our perspective.
<I'm not sure.
laughs> It's just whether or not you like long delays or not. If that frustrates you, then you want to watch the debate, listen to the Giants. And if you don't worry about the 30-second delay, then you can invert it.
Well, the body language between the two candidates, I don't want to see that again. So I'd rather watch the baseball game. I'll listen to the debate.
There you go. Craig, in the last break, we commented that Father Greg is on campus a little bit more than what has historically happened since staff had clerics. What about the bishop's involvement? Is the bishop more involved now? Is he wanting to be more involved? What kind of relationship is there? Because certainly Santa Rosa is the diocese headquarters is far enough away that it's not just a pop in.
Yeah, no, it's got to be definitely a planned visit. He's got to try to do more than one thing when he's up here for the couple of days he can break away from Santa Rosa. Our new bishop, Vasha, Robert Vasha, who's been just a handful of months, really, he has been visible a lot more than previous bishops, and Catholic education is important to him, and he's definitely promulgated some new tasks for us in Catholic education. He has previewed some textbooks for religious ed specifically that he has recommended to us, and we just got that this weekend. He was up here this weekend, Saturday and Sunday. He spoke at Sacred Heart Saturday, and then he stopped by the school and saw the football game for a while and took a tour of the school. So that was pretty good.
A little bit. Moved on, yeah.
Probably. Everybody else might have been too. But he's been really good. The previous bishops have been forced by current events to be more focused on the finances of the diocese, and Bishop Vasha has stepped in at a time where the finances have become more regularized, and he can spend more time on other pastoral duties, and that's obvious from his remarks. And he just set out this pastoral letter he wrote about the Pope's call for this to be a year of faith, and he's taken that and using it as a chance to help us recognize our own faith and energize it, and be more evangelic as Catholics, and to be not as shy about speaking our faith and the truths as we see them. And that's going to filter down into the Christian education components of our school, definitely.
Is the Pope big on education?
I will say yes, just because it's the safe answer. but I can't, right off the top of my head, think of any like pertinent encyclicals or pastoral letters he's written specifically about catechesis, as the Catholic education is called in the Greek. But it's certainly thanks, Brian.
Everybody always in the Pope's is concerned letter about entitled, those questions that aren't anticipated.
Yeah, but of course he's interested in Catholic education. Yes, yeah. He's huge on it, as a matter of fact.
I see, backing yourself right up against that wall, huh?
The studio's too small all of a sudden.
So what do you see, Craig, that you'd like to have in effect or in culturally by the end of this school year? Are there any changes, or is it just more time doing what is?
Now, I want to get this new textbook series implanted in the school. It's the best there is. It's also the most expensive there is. So that's going to be something we need to figure out how to do a fundraiser for those textbooks. But one of the main things I want to do is go back to kind of the way things were when I first started here a long time ago now at school.
Black hair?
Black
hair. Thin waist.
Not that far back.
Lots of luck, buddy.
There is a Grecian formula.
Yeah.
We used to have a separate mass every month for the K through 8, and then a mass for the high school kids, because that was good for just to be able to teach the kids during the priest's homily. The priest could focus his words on a more specific grade level. The way it's been in the last few years is we've had to have masses because of space considerations in St. Joseph's Church. We've had to have the kindergarten and through the 12th grade at mass at the same time in our auditorium. But now that we have Father Greg, I'm hoping that we can do that, go back to St. Joseph's Church and do K through 8 and then 9 through 12 masses. That would be awesome. And he can do more teaching masses too.
And I would suppose if anybody wanted extra info, they could give you a shout at the school.
Absolutely. And we're at stbernards.us.
That's Brown with a B.
Yes.
I mean, not like you can misspell Brown.
No, E at the end.
Yeah, okay.
Not English.
Thanks for coming by, Craig.
Thank you, Brian.
We've been talking shop this afternoon with Craig Brown. Join us tomorrow afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day. Hug someone you love. And remember, we got the presidential debate coming up in a couple of hours.